And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. And when you have it, you could say amen. Whether you're looking there in your Bible or on your device, your Bible on your device. John chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And this morning, I want to continue on the series that I started 2 weeks ago on Enlarge My Territory. Amen. Enlarge My Territory. And God is challenging us in the area of doing bigger things for God. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, enlarge my territory. And doing bigger things for God. Amen. And this morning I want to speak on the subject specifically of bearing much fruit. Amen. Bearing much fruit. And you could title the message, Stay Connected to the River. Somebody say, Stay Connected to the River. Come on, say it again. Say, Stay Connected to the River. John chapter 15, if you have it, say amen. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And the reason why I want to read these verses is because it states the importance of bearing fruit. Amen. It states the importance of bearing fruit, and it explains how with your relationship with Jesus, about being connected to Jesus, that it is possible to have a fruitful walk with God. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible reads like this. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Come on, somebody. Anybody been getting pruned lately? He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you this morning. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, this morning we thank you for your presence. Have your way in this place, God. Speak to every heart of every person that is here, Lord. We pray, Father, as you, God, have challenged us to say, Lord, enlarge our territory. We want to do bigger things for you, Lord. I pray, Father, that bearing fruit would be part of that, Lord. And I pray this morning, speak to your people, receive all the glory for it. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says amen and amen. Before you're seated this morning, tell somebody, stay connected to the river. Doing bigger things for God. How many know God is challenging us this year in 2020? God is challenging us this year in 2020 not only to believe him that he's going to do great things, because we know that God is faithful. We know that God does his part. We know that God always does miracles, and we know that God always does great things. But not only is God challenging us to believe that he's going to do great things, but I believe that God is challenging us that we are going to break out of any type of settling, break out of any type of being stagnant. And this year, 2020, God wants and has been depositing an urgency inside of the heart of his people. And that urgency, it translates. See, that urgency, it comes from God. That urgency doesn't come because there's a preacher here or a person here and is telling you to feel an urgency. See, when you're serving God and when you're connected to God in a relationship with the Lord, God has already been depositing that urgency within inside of your spirit before you walk in through these doors. And when you come through these doors, you simply hear the man of God talking about an urgency that God has already been depositing inside of your heart. Can anybody say amen to that this morning? I want you to stay with me. I don't want to be too long this morning, but I want you to stay engaged. I don't want to preach to deadheads. Come on, somebody. I want to preach to somebody that's excited, on fire. You ain't got to be loud, but just be into it. Amen. Don't fall asleep on me. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. But he's challenging us because he's putting an urgency. It's God that's doing the challenging. It's God that's putting the urgency. It's God that is putting inside of us a desire, a purposing that we're not going to have. 2020 is not going to be business as usual. It's not going to be business as usual, not because the man said it, not because the preacher said it, but because God is putting that kind of desire inside of your life. Galatians 6 says this. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. It goes on, it says this. And it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It talks about sowing and it talks about reaping. Come on, somebody. It says God's not mocked. And it says, don't grow weary in doing good, because in due season, because God is faithful, whatever you've been sowing, you're going to see that God is going to bring it back to you 30, 60, 100 fold, and you're going to reap it right back into your life. Come on, somebody. Third wave. Somebody say third wave. Third wave is what God is doing in Victory Outreach, in Victory Outreach Pomona, in Victory Outreach International. It is third wave revival that is taking place. It's not coming. It's here already. Revival is here. I said revival is here. Revival is here. And I want to show you that this morning, because revival is here. You know, even in times, man, when God, you know that even in times when the Azusa Street revival was taking place and people would just walk near that place, they would just fall on their face, repenting, broken, because the presence of God was there. But even in a place like that, there could still be people that miss what God is doing in such a powerful atmosphere, in such a powerful revival. There could still be people that could sit there and be numb and miss it because they've been disconnected from the river, from the vine, from Jesus, from the church, where God speaks, where God edifies, where God builds up. Somebody say amen. Pray. Pray. See, God wants us to pray. This year, one of the things that he's challenging is he wants us to go deeper with him. Pray, get a hold of God in your life, in your house, with your marriage and your children. Let it be that you establish the presence of God inside of your home, in your ministry. Pray, get together with the people in your ministry and pray. Get together with people that God brings your way in the church and pray. Go deeper with God. Get into God's word, because revival is here, baby, and God wants to do something new with inside of your life. But you can't shut God out. You got to be hungry for God. You got to go after God. You got to pray. You got to preach. You got to prophesy. You got to preach. You got to tell people about Jesus. You got to tell your loved ones about Jesus. Because God is doing something right now inside of your loved ones' lives. Do you know that? While you're here serving God, the Spirit of God is moving in your brother. The Spirit of God is moving in your cousin, in your uncle. Preach. Tell them that God loves them. Tell them that God has a plan for their life. God is already doing a great work. Somebody sows a seed and somebody comes and waters it. Somebody say amen. You got to prophesy. You got to speak alive. You got to keep the promises of God in front of you. You got to keep the promises of God in front of you. You got to hold on to the promises that God has given you, that God has given this church, that God has given your ministry. And no matter what season that you go through, you got to keep the promises of God in front of you. Did you know that's what Pastor Sonny does? Through all of the things that he's gone through these 50 plus years, God has been faithful because he's kept the promises of God in front of his eyes. Got to reap the harvest. We got to reap the harvest. There is a harvest. We got to enlarge our territory. We got to jump in the river. You got to jump in the river. There's a river that's flowing. It's not regular water. It's spiritual water. It's the water of the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit, when you see it, it's powerful, man. It's not like regular water. When I see the river flowing and I see what God has put there for us to jump into, you got to understand, man, there is power. It is light. It is a river of light, not just water and refreshing, but it is light. It is illuminated with the power of God. It will go through you. It will touch every being of your body. Like Ezekiel said, it went from my ankles, it went to my knees, it went from my waist until all it was all the way deep in the river of God. See, we're going somewhere that we've never gone before. As a whole ministry, Ministry International and Victory Outreach Pomona, we're going somewhere where we've never gone before. Somebody say amen. See, you're going to experience that which you've never experienced before. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you this morning. Yes, in the positive, yes, in the things that God is going to do, and in the levels that God is going to, it's going to take you farther than you've ever been before. Yes, in the positive, you're going to go further. You would experience what you've never experienced before. Even if you've been serving God a long time, even if you went in the wilderness for 10, 15 years, it doesn't matter. I want to let you know, you are in a season where God is going to take you further. I don't care how long you might have been stuck. God is a God that gets you out of stuck when you jump in the river and he breaks you through. The only thing God ain't gonna do, he ain't gonna grab you and throw you in. You gotta jump in. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all need somebody to grab you and throw you in. I will grab you by the back of your shirt and throw you in. Come on, somebody. You're gonna experience what you've also, but also you're gonna experience what you never experienced before, even perhaps in the negative. Somebody, I ain't gonna get a whole lot of amens right there, huh? You're gonna experience a lot also in the net and the challenging of your faith, and in the testing of it, and in the sincerity of it, and in the genuineness of it. How genuine is your faith? Not just according to your talk, right? Not just according to what I say, am I right? But according to the fruit, according to the evidence of it within inside of my life. And even though I may have been barren for many years, even though I could be sitting here today and say, man, I'm barren. I feel like that woman in Isaiah 54. I'm the barren woman. I'm looking at her and she's got a lot of children and she's got a lot of fruit, but I'm barren. But God said, sing, barren woman. Sing, barren woman. Sing, barren woman. Because more are going to be the children of the barren woman than the woman that has children. More is going to be the fruit of the barren than the one that has bared fruit. So jump in the river now. Because now is the time that God wants to do it within your life. That's why it's our now year. That's why it's our now year. That's why it's time for you to jump in the river. Somebody say amen. So in this time, hear me now. We must stay close to God. Ooh, come on, somebody. One amen. God bless you, sister. We got to stay close to God. Got to stay close to God. Somebody say amen. And we got to be connected. You know that I'm the pastor of this church, right? But do you know that if I don't stay connected, that I will wither and I will dry and I will die? You know, it don't matter if I'm a pastor. It don't matter if I have a title. It don't matter if I'm here right now full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God. If I don't stay connected, that will only last so long, and it will be a matter of time. Come on, somebody. How many know what I'm talking about? That I will find myself dry and dead and in a place of barrenness. So I got to stay connected to God, and I got to stay connected. We're going somewhere we've never gone. This is what is happening. This is what God is doing. And guess what this morning? It's by the grace of God. I said it's by the grace of God. Where would we be if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God? The Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. All you got to do is jump in. All you got to do is say yes to God. You've been going through hard times. You've been going through some challenges. You've been going through some struggles. Join the club. Come on, somebody. But not only that, jump in the river, because God wants to refresh you and bring you out of that season. Now is the time. In John 15, it says this. It says, when you produce much fruit, Jesus said, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father, he said. If you are truly a disciple of Jesus, then you will have spiritual fruit in your life. That means results. Come on, somebody. Somebody say results. It means evidence. And one of the first things we do as Christians is we produce what Jesus called fruits worthy of repentance. There's a change, in other words. There's a transformation that takes place. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're a new creation. You're not just a reformed drug addict. Come on, somebody. You're not just a reformed person who was empty before and now you just built good habits. No, you've been transformed. You're not the same as who you used to be. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. And the Spirit of God lives and dwells within inside of your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Turn me down just a little bit in the house, please. Just a little bit. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can people see spiritual fruit in your life? Oh, somebody. Not in your bumper sticker. Oh, somebody. Not in your Facebook post. Oh, I see a lot of fruit on that post. See a lot of fruit on that bumper sticker till they cut you off. No, I'm come on, somebody. I don't know what I'm talking about this morning. Can I be real? Can I be real? Can people see spiritual fruit in my life? James 2:14 says this. It teaches us something. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. These verses remind us that sometimes it's not enough to simply say you have faith. It's good to come and say the prayer. It's good to come and put your faith in God. But as you serve the Lord, come on, somebody, there comes a time. Are you with me? Are you with me today? I said that there comes a time, my brother, my sister. There's a lot of sayers, right? It's like there's a lot of naysayers, right? All right? It's always going to be like that. The devil never stops, right? But we need to also act on it. We need to demonstrate. In other words, look, it just for you, just like for you, as I read those verses and you hear them, it's the same for me. Those verses, you know what they do? They challenge us. They challenge me. When I read those verses, they challenge me. They say, Robert, where are you at? They say, Robert, evaluate yourself. They begin to challenge me. They begin to, because it's the Word of God and it's alive and it begins to penetrate my heart. And it begins to stir in there, and it begins to stir with inside of me the things that God wants to do in my life. And it says, am I hitting it? Am I aiming at it? Am I achieving it? Do I need to push harder so I can hit the target? Is there enough that is seen? Am I doing enough, God? Am I comfortable? Come on, somebody. It challenges us because it goes beyond. You know why it challenges us? Because it goes that beyond that God knows my heart faith. Ain't nobody knows about the God knows my heart faith. Huh? Everybody knows, right? God knows my heart. Huh? No? You never said that to your wife? Huh? I don't think I ever said that to you, babe, but heads up if I do. That God knows my heart, right? God knows my heart. Oh, God knows my heart. So it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that God knows my heart faith, right? Faith is a common denominator. But the measure of our faith is not our talk. It's our walk. It's what we do. Works doesn't save us. No, of course not. We know that. The grace of God saves us. By the grace of God. Come on, somebody. And I'll get into that later. You know, but you know, God didn't just save us, right? Just to sit on our blessed assurance on Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. And just be okay that he saved us from hell. You ain't hearing me. Yeah, but it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It just means that God has a plan for your life. It just means that God wants to use you. It just means that you and me, out of all people, God has chosen us to work together with us and to work together in us, that even though other people might not have chosen us, but God chose us to do the work that He wants to do in this world. How many are ready to do great things for God this morning? Come on, somebody give the Lord. We're going to work. Come on, somebody. We're going to serve. Come on, somebody. We're going to build. We're going to disciple. We're going to reach. Come on, somebody. We're going to give big, and we're going to give blessed big, because God is a faithful God, and whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And because God is faithful, we're going to bear much fruit. Someone once said this: if you don't live it, you don't really believe it. I don't know. You know, it's not necessarily a verse in the Bible, but it makes a lot of sense. If you don't live it, you don't really believe it. James said, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." True faith brings obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances. You ever had circumstances? Nobody, just the pastor. Come on, somebody. You ever had circumstances? But this happened, but that happened, but she happened, but he happened. Come on, somebody. That brother that rubs you the right way. That sister that just gets right under that one nerve. All your other nerves are cool, man, but you got that one nerve. And they know how to get under that one nerve. Nobody here. Only me. I only got that one nerve. Yeah, I'm cool with all the other. You get all up under all my other nerves. But you get under that one nerve, boy. Boy, I'm liable to get in the flesh. Huh? But true faith is obedience in spite of consequences. In other words, I was thinking this. In other words, your lack of action is evidence of your lack of faith. Wow, man. I know, man. God deals with me first. Believe me. I don't know if you felt it, but I felt it when I sat there. Your lack of action is evidence of your lack of faith. So this morning, I want to give you a few things, and I'm excited, man. Your wave was powerful. Thank you for praying for us. God moved in a powerful way. Come on, somebody. We were there in Amsterdam, and God was moving. History was taking place there. Great things are taking place in Europe. And the first point I want to give you this morning is why the wave. Somebody say, why the wave? I want to give you why the wave. And why the wave is this, is because time is running out. Why the wave? Why the revival? Why is God doing what He's doing right now in our midst and in our ministry and in the world? The reason why God is moving is because time is running out. I said time is running out, because time is running out. Revival is here. Tell your neighbor, jump in the river. See, now is the time. Now is the time. Do you hear the cry? Do you hear the call of God to get out of your comfort zone? To get out of your business as usual? Do you hear it in your prayer closet? Do you hear it when you turn on the radio and you hear the man preach? Is God speaking to you? Because time is running out. Time is a commodity. It means it's very valuable. Huh? And then we think we got time, right? Well, this is my time, and you know, according to how I want to spend my time, you know, there's certain priorities that, you know, I must list. And, but did you know that you're on God's time? Oh, I said, did you know that you're on God's time? Hello, somebody. That's not your time. That's God's time. I said, time is running out. We got to do what we got to do, and then we got to get out. Do you understand? We got to do what we got to do in this earth. I don't know how many days God is going to give me. I'm trying to be healthy, and I feel like I want to be just healthier, and so I've been trying to be more healthy. But even then, if God gives me more years, I want to be healthy for those years. But even then, I don't know the years. Those are God's years. And if God says those years are over next week, then guess what? Those years are over. They were His years. What did I do with the years that He gave me? What did I do with His years? So we got to do what we got to do, and we got to do it now, and then we just got to get out. Because where we're living is temporal. Life is but a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. But heaven is eternal. Eternal life, which God has given you and me, is eternal. That's forever. So we got to do what we got to do here now in this temporal earth, and then we got to get out. And then when we get out, we're going to have a Holy Ghost party in heaven. Come on, somebody. And we're going to rule and reign with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. I love when my kids ask me about heaven, man. I talk to my kids about heaven because I believe that you know what? It begins to before anything, like it begins to just remove fear from them. It begins to remove any fear, any question, or any doubt. And they begin to look at the future and the reality of life. They begin to look at it with hope. They begin to look at it with inspiration. They begin to look at it with, that's okay. No matter what happens, everything is going to be okay. Deep down in the heart of their little heart, they know that God is in control of their life. Whether it's a good season, a horrible season, or just a main, plain old bad season, they know that God's in control of their life. Time is a commodity. We're standing here this morning, Victory Outreach Pomona, and we are facing the future. And you're going toward that future. There's no running back. It's like one of those escalator things, you know, the flat ones, and you're just going, man. You run back all you want, man. That thing just is going to go faster. The older you get, the faster it goes. Come on, somebody. You ain't no running back. You ain't running back in time, baby Bubba. You can run back as fast as you can. You ain't going to, if you're 40, you ain't going to turn 39. We're standing here facing the future. Someone said this, if you stand still, you start sinking. Come on, somebody. In Luke, something needed to happen. In the book of Luke, something needed to happen. And what happened is God raised up a man. He raised up a man called John the Baptist to go before Jesus and announce His coming. Come on, somebody. He was saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want to let you know this morning that that this generation, we are forerunners. Come on, somebody. We, just like John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus, we are forerunners. Third wave. Are there any third wavers here this morning? Come on, third wavers. We are forerunners for what God is going to do in the future that we're facing. Jesus was a forerunner. He went, you know how Jesus was a forerunner? He went behind the veil. And He took you and I in. When we couldn't go behind the veil, when we couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, only the priest could make sacrifice for you, because Jesus went on the cross and the veil was torn. You ain't hearing me this morning. He went in behind the curtain and He took us in. And because He took us in, He was a forerunner that took us into the presence of God that you and I are able to be in this morning and experience and taste of this morning. He went behind the veil and He took us in. Pastor Sonny, He was a forerunner and He went ahead of Victory Outreach. Come on, somebody. He showed us how to do the work. Come on, somebody. I said He showed us how to do the work. He showed us how to take cities. Come on, somebody. God used Him as a model to show us how to take cities, how to build the kingdom, how to reach treasures out of darkness, how to believe God in the face of impossible circumstances, how to be the least likely, but still rise up and do what God has called you to do. God used Pastor Sonny to be the forerunner for you and I. To cross the oceans and to take continents. He was the forerunner that God used. Somebody say amen. Here it is this morning. This is why it's important, because night is coming. I said night is coming when no man can work. Did you know that? Night is coming, the Bible says, when no man can work. There's an urgency. There's an urgency. That is the reason for not business as usual. because there's an urgency. It's not because of man, it's because of heaven is placing an urgency inside of his people. Has anybody in this place been sensing an urgency inside of your spirit, inside of your heart? Are there any third wavers? Are there any men of God? Are there any soldiers? Are there any warriors? Are there any women of God that have been sensing an urgency in 2020 to rise up and be the man of God and the woman of God that God has called you to be? God is stirring an urgency inside of his church. He's stirring an urgency inside of me. He's stirring an urgency inside of my wife. He's stirring an urgency inside of our leaders. He's stirring an urgency. It's an urgency, and it's stirring up. It doesn't let you stay the same. You don't even want to stay the same no more. You want to do something different. You want to step out. You want to dare to believe God. Even your wife is leaving you behind, and you're starting to look around like, man, I better get with it. Come on, somebody. You ain't hearing me this morning. Somebody better rise up and answer the calling of God, because God is placing an urgency. Revival's taking place all around the world. This is what you don't see when you're just here, day in and day out, in your business, right? We're here. You're not always going to be able to go across the continents, across the oceans, and see what's taking place, but I'm here this morning to communicate to you that revival is taking place all around the world. The third wave is here. It's not coming. It's here. There's an awakening. And it's here because God sees the need. Because God hears the cry. He hears the cry of that young girl. He hears the cry of that young boy. He hears the cry of those parents. He hears the cry of the drug addict. He hears the cry of the lost. He hears the cry. He hears the cry. And that's why there's revival taking place around the world. There's revival taking place. Young people are coming to prayer meetings. I said, young people are coming to prayer meetings. 5 years ago, they wouldn't have come to prayer meetings, but they're coming to prayer meetings now. They're coming more than adults are coming. They're coming to the altar more than adults are coming. They're running to the river to jump in it more than those that have been around. God is stirring it up inside of the young people. They're coming to prayer meetings. Do you see? Do you see the revival? You got to open up your eyes. I want to help open up your eyes this morning so you can see. God is breaking demonic strongholds. I want you to know that in Brazil, God is breaking demonic strongholds. Hundreds of thousands of people are being broken of demonic strongholds that are upon their life. Revival is not coming. Revival is here. In Holland, a great move of God is taking place. In Iran, who hates Israel. Do you hear me this morning? I said awakening and revival is here. In Iran, who hates the country and the people of God. Many are turning from Muhammad to Jesus. Oh, you ain't here. I said many are turning in Iran from Muhammad to Jesus because revival is here. Can't be denied what's happening. In Tibet, there's many that have turned their backs to Buddha and are turning to Jesus. Come on, somebody. In Rwanda, in Africa, tens of thousands are being baptized in the Holy Spirit and in the power of God. The Spirit of God is moving all around the world. I want you to know revival is here. Tell your neighbor revival is here. Come on, tell three people this morning. Tell them revival is here. Man, you all told 1.5 people. I said tell three people. See what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, revival is here. The Spirit of God is moving. And the Spirit of God is moving in Victory Outreach. I said the Spirit of God is moving in Victory Outreach. International, Pomona, Chino, Holland, Amsterdam, Brazil, South Africa. God is moving in Victory Outreach. Third wave revival is here. You can feel the stirring, man. You can feel the stirring. Women's convention. When you go to women's convention next week, you're going to feel the stirring. If you're here this morning and you're connected to God, you feel the stirring. We were there in Eurowave and we felt the stirring. Feel the stirring of God. The Spirit of God is moving. And it continues. And it's not stopping. I said it's not stopping. Until there's an explosion. It's going to take place. And the promise of God that has not been yet fulfilled is going to be fulfilled. In Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, that it says that your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. I want you to know that that promise is beginning to come to pass, but it has not been fulfilled. But I want you to know, because third wave revival is here, I want you to know that it is going to be fulfilled, and we are going to inherit the desolate cities and make them inhabited to the glory of God. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good hand clap in this place. It's not going to stop until an explosion takes place. We have leaders that understand the time. Thank you, Jesus. We have leaders, our founders, Pastor Sonny, our elders, that understand the times. Do you know how important it is to have a ministry and to have leaders and leadership that understand the times? In these days that we live in, where yes, there is a lot of churches that don't understand the times. But I want you to know that where we are at, we have a leadership that understands the times. You got to be grateful this morning that we're not on a sinking ship. You ain't hearing me this morning. I said we got to be grateful this morning that we're not in a sinking ship. We gotta help the third wave take their place. Come on, somebody. It's time. I said, it's time. God wants us to pour into them. Listen to me this morning. That's our legacy. That's our legacy. That's our responsibility. That's our job, to take the junior hires, the high schoolers, the young adults, the third wave generation that is young in this third wave revival. It is our job to pour into them and see God raise them up to be the future of what God is going to do, not only in Victory Outreach, but all around the world. Got to pour into them, and you know, you got to understand. You got to understand this morning. God is faithful. When you pour into them, God will pour into your children. I can't get no amens this morning. I can't get nobody that knows what I'm talking about this morning. When you pour into this new generation, when you pour into this young generation, when you stop getting stuck on all the trivial stuff and put that stuff aside and begin to find some young person and begin to pour into them what God has poured into you, I want you to know that God is faithful to find your children, to find your family members, to send somebody their way to pour into them so that they can fulfill the plan that God has for their life. But we got to be about pouring into this third wave generation. Will someone pour into them? Victory Outreach. I said, will someone pour into them? Will someone pour into them? Find one. Find one. Find two. Pour into them. Jesus said like this. He said, you could discern the seasons. He said, you could tell when it's going to rain. You could tell when fall's coming. You could tell when summer's here. You could tell when winter's here. He says you can discern the seasons, but how is it that you can't discern the times? Jesus was saying there can't be spiritually blind people leading. We must push. Hear me, Victory Outreach. We must push the third way forward together. We must push. There's no time to waste. We're not a cruise ship. We're not a cargo ship. We're a battleship. I said, we're a battleship. I said, we're a battleship. We're a Victory Outreach is a battleship, and God has made us for war. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you know what you're a part of. Jesus is not concerned so much with our comfort, but he's concerned with the mission, with souls, with leaders for the harvest. He's concerned with people answering the call. He said, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest would raise up laborers. Listen to me this morning. Hear me as I hit on this point, because it's so important. Listen, the next agenda on God's agenda is the rapture. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the next thing on God's agenda is the rapture? There's no time to waste. I said, there's no time to waste. Maybe you need to answer the calling of God this morning that is upon your life. Maybe you need to take what God has poured into you this morning and begin to pour it into somebody else. Come on, somebody give me something back. Come on, somebody. Maybe you got to begin to pour it into somebody. Is there anybody that's hungry and wants to do something about what God has called you to do? I can't get no amens. Time is running out. Listen, we're forerunners of the rapture. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus coming. Prophecies being fulfilled. You know what we're forerunners of? We're forerunners of the rapture. That means that we have a responsibility. Because the rapture is coming. The rapture is coming. We're the forerunners of it. We're the ones like John the Baptist, not dressed in camel hair and eating locusts and honey, but eating vegan burritos, dressed in, I don't know what the latest fashion is. I'm not wearing it this morning. But that's our responsibility. We're the forerunners. Not to say Jesus is coming, but to say Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He's coming back for you. Give your life to him. Surrender your life to God. God has a plan for your life, and Jesus is coming back for us all. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. I want you to stand with me today. I want the worship team to come. No moving around, please. Right there where you're at. Just stay reverent before the Lord. Just stay reverent before God right there where you're at. Time is running out. We are forerunners of the rapture. Did you hear me? Listen, you can read it on your own time, okay? But it talks about in Corinthians, I believe it's in Corinthians, and it talks about how everyone's work is going to be tested, okay? You're not going to go to the judgment seat. You're not going to go to the white throne judgment if you have Jesus in your heart. And if you don't have Jesus in your heart today, you can ask Jesus into your life. All those that don't know the Lord, they're going to go to the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is for all those that do not know the Lord. And they're going to go before God. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to go into where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's going to be it. There's not going to be another chance. There's not going to be another altar call. There's not going to be a hold on, wait a minute. The only thing there's going to be that's going to be close to that is the memory in them of all the times that they could have said yes to the Lord but didn't. And for eternity and eternity and eternity in the lake of fire. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're not going to that judgment. But you are going to be judged. You're going to be judged for your works. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are. You're going to be judged for your works. All of us. Me, my wife, all of us. Every leader in this place, every Christian in this place. You're going to go before the Lord, and he's going to judge you for what you did. With the gifts he gave you, the talents he gave you, the time he gave you, everything, the abilities he gave you, you're going to be judged. And it's going to be tried. It's going to be tried by fire. And the Bible says that wood, hay, or straw will not be able to stand the fire of the testing. So what you built, only precious stones will be able to survive the testing of the fire of your works. Only precious stone. And that's going to have to do with your motives. Why you did what you did. Doesn't matter how great you did it. If you did it for a bad motive, it gets burned in the fire. I don't care if you threw the biggest soul-winning event. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you gave tens of billions of dollars. It don't matter. If the motive was wrong, it's not going to stand the testing of the fire. But if your motive was pure and you did it for the right reason, which is because you love Jesus, isn't it so simple? Don't you love how God makes it so simple? That's what I love. I don't have to get caught up in this and that. As long as I love Jesus. Even all of this, I'm talking about doing things and doing great things for God. But did you know that, yes, all that, we got to do it. But did you know that it all starts just in your relationship with Jesus? It's not like go and go do these things. And no, you know where it starts? Really, what all that should point you to, it should just point you to, all that challenging should just point you to go and run into the presence of God. And when you run into the presence of God, that's all you got to do. Go run into the presence of God. And in the presence of God is where God is going to put in you the desire to do great things for him. You're not going to do it because somebody twisted your arm. Come on, somebody. You're not going to do it grudgingly. You're not going to do it, oh, I don't want to do this. No, you don't even worry about doing it. Just run into the presence of God. And when you come out of the presence of God, you're going to want to do great things for the Lord. You're going to want to do bigger things for God. Only precious stone is going to survive that testing. And it says that there's going to be some that are going to make it to heaven. But it talks about how they're going to like barely make it to heaven. Like as by fire, the Bible says. So in other words, they got saved. They repented. They said, Lord, forgive me. They didn't do nothing. They're probably disobedient. And then, you know, the time came. And they barely escape. They barely escape the flames, man. As by fire, they make it into heaven. And it was crazy. I never heard it said like this. Pastor Joffrey said over there from the Amsterdam church, he said, there's a fire department in heaven. And I said, what are you talking about? There's a fire department in heaven. He said, yeah, there's a fire department in heaven. He said, yeah, for casual Christians that make it barely in as by fire. And there's a fire department that's there going, shh, 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 as they come in. Because part of them is still on fire. And then nobody wants to hang out with you because you smell like smoke. I don't know about you this morning. I don't want to barely make it. I don't. Number one, because I don't want to go in as by fire. Number one, because I'm scared. You know, I have a fear of God. But besides that, because God has been too good to me. And I know there's a lot of things, Lord, that I'm going to have fallen short of. But I don't want to look at him in the face and say, I didn't at least try my best. I didn't at least give it all I had. I want to be able to look at my King, at my Lord, at my Jesus. And I want to be able to say, God, you knew. I ain't going to come with no excuses. But you knew, Lord. But by your grace, I stand here and I give you glory. I just want to fall at his feet and worship him. I don't want to go in by fire. I want to have some things that survive the testing. And this morning, I don't know where you're at. It really doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if you've been doing great. It doesn't matter if you feel like you've been falling short. None of that matters because we're all in the same boat. All of us here. It doesn't matter. Listen to me. Even at me or even somebody that has been serving God and they're a great example to me. You know what? They would tell you the same thing this morning. They would say they sense an urgency that they want to do more for God. That now is the time and they can't waste the time and they feel like they can't be business as usual anymore. I pray you feel like that. I really do. You know why? Because God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. God has better things for you, greater things for you. You don't have to have it all together. You just got to be willing, yes, to die to self sometimes. And I know it hurts. I know we don't like to die to self. I know we don't like to humble ourselves. Humble is not the favorite word in your vocabulary. I know. But the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And he resists the proud. I don't want to be fighting God. Because if I fight God, I lose. But I want to just humble myself under the mighty hand of God. And this morning, I don't know where you're at. But I want to challenge you to respond to the Holy Spirit. To say yes to whatever God has been challenging you to. To step out, to trust God that this 2020 is not going to be business as usual for you. I don't care if you stumbled out of the starting gate. It does not matter. God's grace is sufficient, my friend. As long as you step out and trust God, God is going to meet you. God is going to use you. And God is going to anoint you to do great and mighty things. If you want the anointing of the Lord this morning, I'm going to open up these altars. And I want you to come from all over this place. I want you to come to these altars. And I want you to let God come.